had an opportunity to participate in a musical called A Christmas Carol. And it's the retelling of the story by Charles Dickens of Ebenezer Scrooge. And you know, that story is very redemptive. Obviously, when you see your past, your present, and your future, which, by the way, our future all looks the same. I hope I'm not breaking this to you and be the first one to tell you this, but the mortality rate is 100%. I know some of you are going, wait a minute, it is? What does that mean? And so through this journey, it's amazing, we see Ebenezer Scrooge, the beginning, and he is just a crotchety old man. Right? He just doesn't want to be bothered with Christmas. He hates Christmas. And it's funny because he actually, the line is, you know, we say now, bah humbug. But actually Charles Dickens, when he wrote it, it's actually, he says, Christmas is a humbug. And so it was great because all of the kids in this musical, they all do the same thing when he says, Christmas is a humbug. It's a giant gasp, right? Because they're portraying the fact that if Christmas is a humbug, I mean, this is the most wonderful time of the year, and how can Christmas be a humbug? What's amazing through the musical, though, is you see the Cratchit family, and you see a scene at the table when they actually toast to their boss, Ebenezer Scrooge. And then you see Fred, who is the nephew of Ebenezer Scrooge, and he and his family, as much as they're hurt by the fact that he is such a terrible person, a terrible man, they still pray for him, and they still raise a glass for Ebenezer Scrooge, the person who said that Christmas is a humbug. Do you know people like that in your life? Maybe it's you. Do you know people that look at this Christmas season and they just go, you know what? I'm tired of it. I hate all of this. I hate the traffic. I hate the presents. I hate the Yuletide. What is even a Yuletide anyway? Right? I don't like people that are so happy. The bell ringers outside of the shops. I mean, seriously, ka-clang, 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 ka-clang. How? I mean, really? Do you know anybody like that? Who they look, and it doesn't matter what would happen in their life, they are not going to experience this little thing that we're going to talk about today called joy. Joy. So our guiding symbol through our journey, as we journey this morning towards Christmas, is the star. That's the symbol that we're using to help create the atmosphere that we're journeying towards Christmas. And what are we journeying towards? And what are we experiencing along the way? Well, one of the things I pray that we experience is joy. Because it guides us, it helps us to focus that there are things that Jesus brought with him as gifts: hope, love, joy, and peace. So help me, walk with me as we journey on this pathway to joy. You see, joy can be a fuel along our journey, and it's often misunderstood. Often we see people who are really joyful as being happy, and joy and happiness, although are closely related, I would call them cousins, they're not the same. Joy is different than happiness. I had a person in my life who was constantly joyful. You could not make them upset. And even when they were getting in trouble, they still smiled through it. Do you know anybody like that? And the reality was, they weren't just happy all the time. They had joy. See, because happiness is fleeting. It comes and it goes. But joy still resides even in the midst of pain. You can still have joy. That doesn't mean you're happy about it, but it can still resonate deep within us. So, and joy often shows up in unexpected places. Speaking of which, the story we're going to look at today are the angels showing up. Do you remember the first thing? Most of the time when you look in Scripture, the angels say one thing right out of the gate, right? Do you remember? Do you remember what it is? Don't be afraid. It's kind of like angel for hello, or hello for angel, right? You know what I mean? Instead of them coming up going, hello, you know, I'm Gabriel. It's usually like, don't be afraid, right? And they say, don't be afraid a lot. But could you imagine being the shepherds out on the hillside that night? It's dark. It's maybe a little cool. And these shepherds, these are tough guys, right? And I'm going to get into that here in a second. But all of a sudden, they see this one angel comes at them. And the angel says, hello, right, in angel language, which is, do not be afraid. The angel says, do not be afraid. And these shepherds are there, and they're like, what is going on? Right? They're seeing this for the first time. One shepherd looks at the other guy, and he goes, I'm not scared, you are. Right? So in Luke 2, we pick up the story. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Hello. He said, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to a few people, right? Because listen, there's only so much good news and great joy to go around. We can't be spreading this too far, too fast. So he brings you good news of great joy to a couple of select people, and everyone else is going to have to fend for themselves, right? I know, the tension right now, you all are going, please tell me he's not going to continue with this. No. What does the scripture say? Say it with me. Brings great joy to all people. That's important. That's important. It's all people can experience this good news of great joy. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Now, let me tell you, we hear that and we go, oh, and we picture this really cute scene, right? Mary, Joseph, little tiny baby with little tiny cute nose lying in a manger, right? But the reality is, when the angel would have said, you can find the baby wrapped snugly in cloth, lying in a manger, all the shepherds go, what? Lying in a what? In a manger? A manger was basically a concrete feed trough for donkeys and pigs and animals inside of a stable. So they would have cleaned this thing out. But to the shepherds, when they're hearing the angel, they're like, oh, this is like, you know, obviously they're terrified. But then they hear, and you will find the Messiah, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, wrapped in a feed trough. They would have been like, that's different. You know? I mean, for us, we hear that and we just get this angelic picture. But for them, they were like, what? Lying in a feed trough? So it's important to make sure that we contextualize to understand that they were hearing information for the first time, and then now they have to respond to it. So let's break this down. An angel appears. Angel appears and says, hello. And they're all freaking out. And the shepherds are hearing this message, and then suddenly a ton more angels appear. In fact, not just a ton more, the entire heavenly hosts. Okay, now I don't know how many the heavenly hosts are, but I can only imagine what that scene looked like. Luke 2, we pick it back up. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. So this is where we start today. As we follow the star closer to Christmas on this journey of joy. There's three aspects of joy that I want to point out. So the three aspects, number one, joy and pain coexist. Now I'm going to get into that later, but I want us to understand that joy and pain coexist, at least this side of heaven. So number two, joy brings connection with others. Joy is communal. We're going to get into that. And the third aspect is that joy leads us to worship. If it doesn't lead us to worship, then why be joyful at all? Right? So we're going to get into that. So let's start with number one here. Joy and pain coexist. I almost want to rename that title. I kind of like debated on that, renaming it, not joy and pain coexist, but actually joy through pain. That's what I really wanted to name it as, joy through pain. There's so many amazing organizations working diligently to bring clean water to those who have no clean water throughout the world. An organization that we've partnered with before, and we love partnering with this organization because they don't come in with their big fancy equipment and drill a well and then set up all of the things that the village needs. Because typically, with a lot of those NGOs, the wells break down within 3 months, and that nobody in that village knows how to fix them, and so they lay there dry, dormant. They don't work anymore. The O-rings at the bottom that they're using to pump the water typically fail. So Water 4 is a little bit different. They don't go in with big, heavy equipment. They actually go in with a tripod and a digging machine that they do by hand. It's all manual. They teach the villagers how to drill for water themselves. They teach them how to do the maintenance on the wells. They are the ones that empower the villagers to become the water company, right? The workers. And they have kiosks that they put up and where people will walk for miles and miles to come and to get fresh, clean water. And when the well breaks down, the villagers don't freak out. They already know how to fix it. And so they fix it and they get clean water. Isn't that awesome? So that's why we love our partnership with Water 4. But have you ever seen the response of a village who gets water for the very first time? Watch this. Is pure joy. That's not just happiness. That's joy. Joy broke into that village that day when they pumped water for the first time. I want you to think about that. Many aspects of their life didn't change. It goes on unchanged. They still have poverty. They still have hardship. They still have pain. But in the midst of all of that, they have joy. Because they were able to find the joy in seeing water come up from this dry ground that had never produced water before. They found joy in the revelation that they can celebrate this water, this life-giving water that's not disease-ridden, it's pure, and they can drink it right from the tap. Isn't that amazing? That's pure joy. That's the strange thing about joy. It seems natural to think that the only way that we can experience joy is when pain is removed. Pain wasn't removed from this village, but joy was put in. Can I say that again? Pain wasn't removed from this village, but joy was put in. That's the coolest aspect for me when we think about the relationship between joy and pain. It's a constant balance. In fact, pain often magnifies joy. Now, I want you to think about this. If I was to drill a well in your backyard and I was to start pumping water out, you would actually probably get mad at me. Right? Because you'd be like, I got enough water coming out of the tap. I don't need another one in my backyard. What's going to happen when it freezes? Now, I have to manage this too. Thanks a lot. But think about if you were in a dry and weary land. Think about in a place where you would have to walk on average 10, 15, 20 miles to receive any bit of drinking water that was actually drinkable and wasn't disease-ridden. Think about in the midst of that pain, how much joy there would be when somebody dug a well right in the middle of your village. You see, joy can be introduced even in the midst of pain. At the moment of the world's greatest pain, an angel showed up and said, "Don't be afraid." So here's the challenge as we begin thinking through this morning. What circumstance is causing you to fear? Think about that to yourself. What circumstance in your life today is causing you to fear? What are you most afraid of in life? What are you most afraid of? If you can name your greatest fear, what would it be? I want you to think about that. And the last question is, what pain is overshadowing your joy? Maybe you come here this morning and you have so many pains that you wouldn't even be able to begin to express to me how hurt you are and how devastated you are and the pain that you're experiencing. My prayer for you this morning is that the angel's words penetrated the darkness then and they can penetrate the darkness today. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Even the strong shepherds were scared in that moment. But the news that the angel brings is still the same today. You see, the news of Christ's arrival in your life brings with it great joy. I'm not sure y'all caught that. The news of Christ's arrival in your life brings with it great joy. Man, think about your life before that. So James, who is actually the brother of Jesus, he writes in James chapter 1, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Now don't turn off. Don't turn off. I know, this is the part. This is the part when preachers get up and they use this verse and all of a sudden we get to the end, "Consider it great joy when you face trials of any kind," and everybody goes, bloop. Nope, not gonna do it. Stay with me, stay with me. "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." So wait a minute. Are you telling me, James, that I have to go through pain in order to be complete? Is that what he's saying? Because here's the reality that we have to look at when we look at this verse. There is a key word that sometimes we miss. I hope you all don't, because every time I bring up this verse, I point it out. But there's a key word in here. Here it comes. When? When? Folks, we are on this side of heaven. Meaning we are on the side that is fallen, that is broken, that sin has entered into. Which means whether you choose it or not, pain is coming. Whether you choose it or not, pain is a reality of this side of our lives. We didn't even choose it. It's still a part of our story. So the question is, when troubles of any kind come your way, what are you going to do about it? You see, we can't choose whether or not the pain came. Well, sometimes we do. Sometimes we do make choices that cause pain. And we're on the hook for that. But what about the pain that comes that you didn't choose? What do we do with that? So when trouble comes, we can't control that it came sometimes, but we can control how we respond. So, how do we face trials with great joy? I get it. Even when I look at that, I'm always like, I don't want to, right? Because I really don't. But the other thing that's reality of this scripture is it's not telling us to be fake. It's not telling you just to slap a smile on your face and to go on life and go, "Everything's great. I'm considering it great joy." You know, it's not telling you to do that. What it's telling you is to have a long view. That if we get caught up in the moment of whatever is causing that pain, and we allow that moment to magnify over greater than it really is, then it starts to intrude in other areas of our life. But instead, we realize, man, I got to get through this because I know it's coming. But praise the Lord, for those who believe, you have a Savior who journeys with you, who doesn't abandon you, doesn't leave you. And for those of you who maybe don't come or haven't come to that saving knowledge, I want to tell you that you have a Savior who is pursuing you, who wants to journey with you through your pain, who wants to walk hand in hand with you when life gets hard. He doesn't want to see you suffer. But we realize that suffering still happens because we're on this side of heaven. So, Nehemiah even said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." The joy of the Lord is my strength. Why would Nehemiah even have to say that? He was saying that he's going through something and that he needed strength. And he realized that where was he going to find the strength to get through what he was going through? It was going to be found in the Lord's joy. In God's joy, it can be our strength. So what does it look like to have joy in our daily trials? Well, we're going to get to that. Second thing, joy and connection. Joy brings connection with others. So you remember that clean water video that we watched? Did you notice it wasn't just one person that was experiencing that for the first time? A whole village shows up when water comes to town. A whole village comes out and they celebrate together. And they celebrate that they have clean water. Because hear me say this, something they needed is now something they have. That'll preach. If you're really listening, something they needed is now something they have. It's the same truth for Christ and Christmas. Remember, it's good news for a few people. No, say it with me. It's good news for all people. All people qualify, but not all people choose. The good news that Christ brings with him is for all people, but not all people choose to follow Christ. I wish that people would realize how thirsty they were. If we equate the world that we live in and the world that you live in, your daily routine, your season of life, whatever it is that you're going through, and you look at the people around you, if you equate it to a desert, I wish that people would realize just how thirsty they are, because they don't. So many people in this world don't realize the thirst that they have, and they try to find that craving for the thirst in other areas of life. Well, listen, no other area of your life is going to fully quench your thirst except for Christ. And I can tell you that with great confidence this morning. See, because people don't realize that they're missing something that they need. Because think about that. Something they needed. When people do come to that saving knowledge of Christ, maybe later in their life, maybe a long journey in their story, all of a sudden they realized that they needed this and they didn't even know it. But something that they needed is now something they have. So what do we do with that? Man, I pray that we share that. I pray that we go around to people and tell them and share with them, listen, something that you need is something I have, and I want to give it to you, and I want you to experience this, because trust me, you know, I know you don't know that you need it, but you do. And we have to do that delicately. We can't just beat people over the head with that news. We have to live that out. Because why would somebody want to drink from your water if your water was bitter? Why would somebody want to, if your life wasn't filled with joy, why would somebody else listen to your message saying, I bring great news of great joy, good news of great joy? Why would they want to listen to that message if they look at you and they see a bah humbug? Right? Why would you offer them this life-giving water if it tasted bitter? So as much as we have to rely on our own understanding of what God is doing in our lives, that we can then share that with others around us. See, because it's not just joy to the world. It's not just joy to the world. It's joy to fill in the blank. Put your name there. Are you experiencing joy this morning? Can you say joy to Steve? Joy to Amy? Joy to Dan? Can we say that this morning? Because that's the great news that comes with this joy. It's not just to all people. It's not just to the world. It's to you. It's to me. And I know sometimes we tend to think, well, no, it's just reserved for other people. No, it's not. When Christ died, he brought redemption into the world to conquer sin and death. Not just generally sin and death. When Christ came into the world, he came to redeem your sin, your death. That's why he came into this world. It wasn't just in a generic sense. It was for you. It was for me. So, joy is uncontained and uncontainable by borders, by governments, by nationalities, and by races. Joy has no limits. It has no boundaries. It is incredible. It's uncontainable. The psalmist actually spoke to this in Psalm 96. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and everything in it shout its praise. Let the fields and their crops burst out with joy. Let the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with his truth. You see, fear and pain isolate us, but joy brings connection. And the joy of Jesus should not only connect us to God, but should also connect us to one another. Our vertical relationship with God should always have an impact on our horizontal relationship with each other. If your vertical relationship with God is not impacting your horizontal relationship with others, let me just kind of help you out. You might be doing it wrong. Maybe the joy of the Lord is not your strength. Maybe you haven't truly experienced the joy of the Lord. Maybe you have been at times in your life have been happy, but even in the midst of pain, you can't find joy. Our vertical relationship with God that causes great joy in us should have an impact on our horizontal relationship with others. So the last thing as we close, joy and worship. Joy leads us to worship. How do we respond to joy? How do we live in this balance between joy and pain? Because obviously we're going to live in that balance until Christ returns. So how do we live in that duality? Sometimes we embrace joy. Sometimes joy embraces us. Sometimes we allow our hurt and our pain to overshadow us. Let me tell you, I just pray that the joy of the Lord will be your strength and it will break into and bring new light even into the midst of your hurt and your pain. Joy sometimes feels really far away, doesn't it? Like I just can't, how can I experience joy, Pastor? Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Man, you're right. You're right, and I get it. I get it's hard, I get it's painful, and I get that it's sometimes doesn't make sense. But Scripture tells us and shows us that the proper response to joy is always worship. Think about this, the angels, they came and they responded, they announced with joy. The shepherds responded with joy, and then what did they do immediately? They ran to see Jesus. Because an angel announcement, that's what it does. That's what the star does. The star draws us closer to Jesus. When we get to Jesus, all of a sudden, the shepherds came to Jesus, and we don't know how long they were there, but I can imagine a bunch of really rough and tough and hardcore shepherds, right? I'm sure they probably weren't there very long. They were probably like, all right, let's go. And then they took off. They took off, and what's the second thing that they did? They told everybody about it. They said, you guys aren't going to believe this. There was an angel. And the angel came, and then all of a sudden, there's a huge explosion of angels. And they said, the Messiah has been born. And then we went and we saw the Messiah, and it was just as the angel said. And they went through all the town, and they told everybody. Because you see, their vertical relationship with God, even as slim and as little and as short as it had been, impacted their horizontal relationship with others. They took what they got, and they shared it. Church, take what you got and share it. You don't realize that even in the midst of your pain, when you're able to share with people the joy that you can have through that pain, that becomes an incredible megaphone in the world. It becomes a megaphone that people will listen to because they don't care how much you glow until you glow in the dark. That's when people start paying attention. To when they see how you glow in the dark. Matthew 2 says, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. This is the shepherds. They saw the star, filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Because joy brings worship. And we can experience the same this Advent season when we journey towards the birth of Christ. And the salvation that Jesus brings, I want to tell you, you can experience that same joy even in the midst of the pain. Peter even tells us that this walk of faith is a hard walk. It's not easy. I'm not going to sell you a bill of goods and tell you that, oh, if you just become a Christian, life gets easier. Because it doesn't. You're not going to hear that from me. This stuff is hard. It's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it, right? Finding pain or finding joy in the midst of pain? Who does that? Believers. Believers do. That's who does it. Man, think about your testimony, how many times you've been in pain, and yet you've been able to say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So Peter tells us in 1 Peter, you love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. You know what I love about Peter? Peter basically just said to us, I get it. I get it. You love him even though you've never seen him. And you put your trust in this man named Jesus who you've never met. I get it, right? And he says, but the reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. You know what he says? He says, step out in faith. Step out in faith. So there's three ways to be joyful in a humbug world. And I'm just going to touch on these real quick, and then we're going to be done. Number one, take time to connect with others. So this is kind of like the application portion, you know, take this with you, put it in your pocket, carry it with you out the doors. Don't leave it here, right? You need to take it with you as you go. Because there's no sense in coming and hearing it if you just let it sit in here. So these are the three things. Take time to connect with others. Remember, joy brings community. It's contagious. Don't let pain isolate. That's a trick of the enemy. That's all the devil wants to do, is to isolate you in your pain. He wants you to be in pain and to not experience community. Can I just share with you that, try this for me. The next time you're in pain, the next time there is a hurt around you, would you bring other people around, and would you be in community? And watch what happens. Watch what happens. Number two, take time to be purposefully thankful. Purposefully. Now, I'm not just saying that to get it right. I'm actually saying it for emphasis. Purposefully thankful. Take time to be purposefully thankful. Write it down if you have to. Here's the amazing thing about the hurt and the pain that we experience and how we can bring joy into the middle of it. A lot of times when we write down things that we're purposefully thankful for, all of a sudden the pain becomes less and the joy becomes more. That's the goal. That's the hope. So rejoice. Think about that word, rejoice. It says go and joyce, right? Joyce and then joyce again. That's what the word rejoice means. In fact, Scripture actually says that when one lost sinner is saved, that God rejoices. It actually means to twirl about. So I want you to know that just because we don't dance doesn't mean God doesn't. That's a joke. That's a joke. But I want you to think about that. Christ, God, rejoices, dance, twirls about when you give your life to him. And there is much rejoicing in heaven. Much rejoicing. So go and joyce. And when you're done joycing, joyce again. That's our instruction. Philippians tells it this way in chapter 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Amen. And the last thing, as we stand to close, let's worship God for who he is. Let's worship God for who he is. No matter how dark this world gets, no matter how dark your circumstance gets, you can worship God not for what he does, but for who he is this Christmas season and beyond. Would you just simply hold out your hands this morning to receive this benediction? And I pray that even in the midst of all of that's going on around us, that we would invite the joy of the Lord into our lives. Maybe for you this morning, this is the first time that you're hearing this and you're experiencing this. I want to challenge you. Would you come and talk to me afterwards? So I'm going to be in the cafe area after the service, and I want to encourage you that if you want to know more about what this joy is and how you can have that, I want you to come and just simply talk with me. Can we do that? So receive this blessing and benediction for us this week. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are sent.